Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it. I dig it. Come on.
Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Sam and Greg on a foggy, well, not foggy, but it's an overcast Sunday morning.
It's overcast Sunday morning. A lot of clouds out there. So if you're driving around, be careful. My guess probably looks like we'll probably get some rain at some point today.
Yeah.
You got some out your way last couple of days. The minute it rains, he always goes and says, it's coming your way. Get ready. Put your galoshes up.
You know what? We opened the minds of a lot of people yesterday. I found out after the show because we were talking about that, and yeah. I specifically told Sam. Now, again, there's an explanation for those of you whose eyebrows are going to rise up, and you're probably 25 or under, or 30 and under. But I told Sam yesterday the rain was coming his way to go put on his rubbers, and so I was telling folks that, and even outside in the bullpen, they were looking at me funny. Like, what you doing telling Sam to do that for? I said I'm. Rubbers for his shoes.
Rubber shoes.
There are people who do not know of that term.
You don't see those things anymore.
No, you don't see them. And I saw my brother-in-law hit him last year up at the funeral up in Michigan.
Yeah.
It's an up north thing. But that was something
Well, you said down here, as a child, I had those. You put them on over your shoes when it's rainy outside and muddy.
It is a cover for shoes.
Right, you don't want to get your shoes messed up.
Just like your shoes.
Right.
But those things went out of style when 8-track tapes came in.
Yeah, because you couldn't do anything with them to make them different. They were just going to look the same.
Yeah.
And they were pretty, pretty ugly.
So I told Sam to put his rubbers on, and people started looking at me with a skunk eye.
No, that's what was happening.
Yeah, and like I said, my brother-in-law was wearing a pair and thinking he was just as stylish as can be.
Really?
I was looking at him all kinds of funny ways. Shout out to Stacy over at Highland Bakery, our friend Stacy.
Ah, hello. Good morning.
Yeah, Highland Bakery, they're listening to us, and so we want to say hello to Stacy. Sam and I started the show with a question to each other and then, of course, the audience. On the heels of LeBron landing in L.A., thought, who is the biggest sports acquisition this city has ever seen? And throughout the morning, we've been going back and forth about it. We've taken your calls on it. And by the way, you're welcome to join us at 404-741-0929. And the leader in the clubhouse right now is Greg Maddux. But names like John Smoltz have been thrown out there. Tony Gonzalez, even a couple coaches. Who was the other? After Tony Gonzalez, who was the other one? You mentioned
Dan Reeves.
We're not going to do coaches.
Coaches.
Yeah, we're not going to do coaches. Players.
I'll tell you a couple of players that came in, and one just went into the Hall of Fame that was brought in with Morton Anderson.
There you go. That's a good one.
He solidified an area that the Falcons had some problems with, and he comes in and he solidifies that role and all the way to the Hall of Fame.
Is he still the all-time leading scorer?
All-time leading scorer.
In the NFL?
For two teams.
Yes. So, and he came here. He came here as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
With Hall of Fame credentials.
From the Saints.
I'm going to tell you what. I don't know.
And the Pearl on the other side of the glass kind of like sneers as we say that.
That's true. He left New Orleans. But he is probably close to Maddux. I would say that's like 1-1A.
Because
I didn't think anybody would be close to, you know, Smoltz is nice, but he wasn't the John Smoltz that just went into the Hall of Fame when he came here from Detroit.
No.
But Morton Anderson was, he had Hall of Fame credentials.
We already knew what he'd done because he'd done it against us.
That's pretty good.
He made a living against the Falcons for years.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So we're curious of what you guys think again, 404-741-0929. And as we continue, do you think he is the biggest one, LeBron, that is in L.A.?
I mean, in all sports out there, that's to me.
And considering that's a city that none of the sports teams.
Well, you mentioned one yesterday that I thought was pretty big because of his impact on the league and impact on his sport.
I think when you look at what we don't know we don't know what LeBron's going to be in a Lakers uniform, but we know what he is right now.
Yeah,
and he's the best player on the planet as far as that's arguably the best player on the planet with a handful of rings.
But it's a sport that people are already paying attention to in L.A. People already have paid attention to. At the time, the guy you mentioned yesterday, that sport was like a novelty.
Well, it wasn't. But the player though, was he took a backseat to nobody in North American sports. We'll put it that way.
Right.
All right? So we mentioned a couple. You mentioned a couple, the obvious ones. And then I said, hang on a second. You'd be hard-pressed, even with LeBron, to find somebody who did a bigger job and was bigger than Gretzky.
Yeah. I mean, to come in and do what he did, not only for that team in that city, but for the entire National Hockey League, because as I mentioned yesterday, at that time, National Hockey League didn't have a good TV deal in the United States unless you were in a city with a hockey team. You didn't see anything until you saw some highlight clips or something of Gretzky. All the stuff he did up at Edmonton, we saw clips.
He had four championships.
We seldom saw him, though. I mean,
well, that's not the point, though. But everybody knew what he was doing. That's what made it even crazier.
Everybody knew what he was doing, even when the league didn't have a good TV deal.
He played here from time to time. He dipped in, he dipped out, but he was a Canadian, and he stayed up there in Edmonton. And, I mean, came out, if you followed hockey, you knew this guy was the prize. He was LeBron.
Absolutely.
Early on.
Absolutely.
All right.
And he had a great team around him, too.
Oh, man, Messier and all those guys, and Marty McSorley was his enforcer. Yeah. He had Grant Fuhr between the pipes.
Yeah.
Listen to me pop my hair on hockey.
He is running up.
But that was how
great that team was.
And so he comes here, and he brings hockey, for the most part, into America. And he couldn't have done it at a better place. So, anyway, I just thought Gretzky was equal to LeBron as far as landing in L.A. Then we had a couple others that came up.
Okay.
I'd forgotten about. And Chris Goforth said one that I'd forgotten about. I don't know that it rivals those two, but it's significant. Bo Jackson. Hang on. Yeah, I forgot about that, too. He was an L.A. Ram. Excuse me, how did he put it?
Raiders.
He was a it was my hobby, the NFL. Yeah. Boy, they loved hearing that. They loved it. Them dudes couldn't wait on a defense to go up against that Raiders team.
Yeah.
Because he thought this was part. I'll never forget Howie Long talking about that and how the visceral response that defensive players felt when he said that. And, of course, what did he do? He came in the league. First thing he did, he knocked Brian Bosworth into another time zone on primetime TV and just became who he became. But him landing in L.A., what do you think?
That was big to have him there in addition to what they already had on the team, because when he comes, the future Hall of Famer takes a back seat.
That was crazy. And Al Davis put Marcus Allen. Well, he was hurt a little bit, and that's why they went after Bo. And begged Bo to come in. Al Davis knew how to put people in the seats, too. Plus, he was in the process of suing the NFL.
Yeah.
And it worked out for him. But Marcus Allen, the best thing that happened to Marcus Allen was Bo Jackson coming to that team. Because he got healthy again. This is like a little bit like Adrian Peterson sitting out last couple of years. But he didn't – I don't know if Adrian – by the way, is Adrian Peterson going to play anywhere this year?
We'll see.
Is he done?
We'll see. I mean, that wasn't a good scene of him.
Yeah, it really wasn't. But – Marcus Allen got resurgence in Kansas City.
Yep.
And, you know, he doesn't solidify those Hall of Fame credentials were it not for Al Davis putting him on the bench, which was mind-boggling at the time being.
You got a guy that can do what he was doing. That was amazing. But, you know, owners could do that then.
The Super Bowl MVP, was it 83, something like that, where he had that reverse run? Ran through the Redskins?
Right through them. You know? But you have a hard time getting away with that today. But you talk about one and for that city. He's probably the biggest one. There was maybe another one, too. Oh, I got one.
Uh-oh. Do I need to sit down?
But he was later in his career, Reggie Jackson to the Angels.
Nah, yeah, he don't count. He's making gun movies.
No.
He was late in his career. He wasn't in his prime. LeBron, yes, is on the back end of his career, but Reggie wasn't considered the best baseball player at the time being.
He had championships. He had rings in his
He wasn't considered the best at his sport. I mean, they were
bringing him to DH, basically, bro, wasn't he by that time?
But
he had been through Oakland.
One.
He had won all the championships at Oakland and in New York.
And by the way, do you consider Anaheim?
Well, yeah. Yes, that's part of it. Yeah.
It is now.
They didn't want
any connection with L.A. for the
Well, when they first
time.
Went out, they were originally the Los Angeles Angels, and it became the Anaheim Angels, and now they want to be Los Angeles.
No, it's California Angels.
Well, they're in California, you know, so they can do whichever they want if they want to. You know,
we're staying with baseball.
We're not coming down on Orange County. Orange County's all right with us.
All right. Marcus is in Kennesaw. Marcus, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys, I got Fred McGriff in the 80s when the Braves needed a bat. They got him.
Yeah, we had a guy to call up about that, too. And he brought up the fire, too.
The press box caught on fire.
Press box caught on fire.
Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate it. That was a great one. There were some guys who come to teams and play big roles. Like, I would think the first Super Bowl team, I would say Cornelius Bennett. Cornelius Bennett was a big guy that helped solidify that defensive veteran voice. Had been a part of those disappointments in Buffalo and came here and was one of the guys that really galvanized that defensive unit. If you want to say that, that was big for that particular team to have him come here and be a part of it. Warrick Dunn.
I was thinking about him.
Coming from Tampa Bay here, and he came here in time to make a big difference with this team. They gave him that running back and going alongside Michael Vick at the time. What a 1-2 punch. Which one are you going to go after? You know, so, I mean, that was, to me, those were a couple of big pickups that the Falcons were able to make.
When I was talking to people about this originally with the L.A. situation, they had brought up the fact that Magic actually wasn't drafted by the Lakers. He was drafted, I can't remember the team, but he was drafted by somebody else and then came over. Much like Kobe. Kobe was drafted by Charlotte.
Yeah.
The same thing as we were talking about this in the bullpen, and I don't know if people know this, you were talking about Dominique.
Dominique was originally drafted by Utah. Originally drafted by the Utah Jazz and came in as part of a trade to the team. So a lot of people think he's drafted by the Hawks, but he was not drafted by the Hawks.
So technically we could throw him in there. But
as being an acquisition due to a trade.
Yeah.
We could. And I don't know if there'd be one bigger than that.
Well, but he wasn't Dominique, though, then.
Yeah. But it was someone that made a big difference coming in, and people got really excited, obviously because he had played college ball in Georgia. And people were very familiar with him.
Who was on that team with him? I don't remember. Anybody else of note on that Georgia team with him?
The Georgia team? Oh, my goodness. Was Vern Fleming on that
team? That name sounds familiar.
Ended up playing in the league for a while. Maybe it was Vern on that one. I think so.
Who was the coach back then?
Hugh Durham.
Hugh Durham, okay.
Hugh Durham. He came from Florida State. And that, to show you how good that team was, the next year they went to the Final Four. Yeah,
really.
The year after Dominique. Matter of fact, they ended Michael Jordan's collegiate career, if I'm not mistaken, in the NCAA tournament. Georgia beat North Carolina. That was Michael Jordan's last college game.
Well, it could have been 81 then, because Georgia they won it in 92. In 82 with Jordan and James Worthy. So 81.
No, it wasn't 81. No, in 81. Dominique
played. I thought he came out in.
I said he was gone.
This is
the team without Neek.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Misunderstood.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But that was good information. We are so full of good information this morning.
At the pit in Albuquerque with Five Slamma Jamma and Jim Valvano running around the floor looking for somebody to hug.
There you go. All right, well, we're going to talk a little bit more NBA, some Summer League NBA.
Yeah.
Talk about our boy Trey Young. That is up next with Dan Wolkin. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Come out, Virginia. Don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they show you a stat.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on a morning that we have just got. It's actually kind of like Center Court Wimbledon here.
Yeah.
You and I. And we're not done.
No.
But I want to do something before we get to our guests here. You brought up a minute ago that Georgia Bulldogs team from back in the day with Dominique. You mentioned Terry Fair.
Yeah.
Vern Fleming was on that team.
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Eric Marbury.
Eric Marbury was really, really one of the really big players on that team.
James Banks.
Yep.
Wilmer Fowler.
Okay.
Lamar Hurd.
Lamar Hurd was big.
Yeah. I even heard that name. Derek Floyd.
Yep.
Mike Morris.
Yeah, some good players.
Phil Wallace and Sid Truesdale.
You know what? And most of those guys are from Georgia. They really were. They were like home state players that Hugh Durham got to buy into the program at Georgia and come there and play along with Neek. And after he left, those guys showed just how great they were by getting to the Final Four.
All right.
Yeah.
Bring our guests in here. Continue talking some basketball.
We're going to talk some basketball with a guy who's been keeping an eye on things, Hawks, and keeping an eye on things, Summer League, USA Today's sports columnist. Dan Walken Jones is now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Great to catch up with you. First of all, before we talk about how he's doing on the floor, what were your impressions on the Hawks draft and the three guys they got, especially Trey Young coming in from Oklahoma?
Draft's always a crapshoot. I know everyone likes to put grades on all these drafts and strong opinions on draft night about who did well and who didn't do well. You know, the truth is we don't know for a couple years at least about how good these drafts look. And really, if you go through year by year in the draft, you only get a handful of players per year who are real impact guys. And you don't always know where they're going to be. Some of them are in the teens. Some of them are in the second round every now and then. It's just a real crapshoot. And you know, any draft with more than, you know, five or six real starting level players is kind of an anomaly in the recent history of the NBA. So I just can't put that much stock into, you know, into how people do. But I think the philosophy of the Hawks and what Travis Schlenk wants in the modern NBA, it's at least consistent with the kind of team he's trying to build. And he wants guys who can shoot. He wants guys who can who have skill, who can pass, who are offensively minded, because I think it's pretty clear at this point in his view, offense is what wins games, and the shooting, the spacing in the modern NBA is where everything's going, and you need players who can fit that.
All right, well, Dan, let me tell you something. I agree with you. So let's move on to what is next, and that is evaluating what's going on between either between the ears or the heart. Because when you guys get from when these guys go from college to the NBA, and it's going to take them no time to have their game figured out by these veterans, that's when you find out the character of that person. What do you see in Trae Young that gives at least us here in Atlanta a good feeling about this guy's going to be able to adapt and adjust?
Well, he's a really smart player. You know, I think you watch, not just in the summer league, but in college. He reads the game really well. I think that's the one thing when you're a point guard, the decisions you have to make on the pick and roll, which is really the bread and butter play now for every NBA team, and understand where your guys are on the floor, be able to evaluate, you know, three options at a time, and then make an instinctual decision that happens in a split second. It's a lot of information to process, and you can see there are guys who, you know, just struggle to understand that and to process that information in real time. I don't think Trae Young is one of those guys. I think he's a really, really smart, instinctual guy with incredible vision. His issues are just going to be getting stronger, the physicality of the game, understanding his ability to finish against stronger, bigger people, and whether or not he's going to have more variety to be able to score inside the three-point line. There's a lot that he's got to figure out, but he's also 19 years old, and there's a lot of time for him to learn, and he's not going to be in a situation where there's a lot of pressure to win. So I think he's a good player. There's obviously concerns about him. There's concerns about all these guys. None of them are perfect prospects. So you take your chances, and you try to develop, and we'll see how far you can get.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline this morning with Dan Wolken, USA Today. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wolken. Dan, that said about Trae, are we making too much of it this week? Because after every summer league game, there's been so much reaction about him. His struggles early on seemed like he played much better last night against the Knicks. You know, but then these are games that really don't count. Do you look more for progress in these games more than just what we're seeing, you know, the final stat count?
Yeah, I think people are making way, way, way too much of all the summer league games. Summer league is not real NBA basketball. And you can watch these games, and most of the guys who play in them, it's a different kind of deal, because you have, you know these kids who come out of the draft, and, you know, for a lot of them, they haven't played organized basketball in about 4 months, and you know, they're coming off this huge high of getting into the draft and settling in with their new teams, and there's not been a lot of practice, so it's those guys, and then you've got guys who are literally scratching and clawing for their careers because they've been over in Europe or they've been in the G League and they're trying to catch somebody's attention and get a contract. And the games are really very physical. Part of that, I think they allow these guys to have like 10 fouls or something, so there's a lot of fouling that goes on, a lot of fouls that go uncalled. The game is often pretty ugly. So just the whole context is different for a summer league than it is in a real NBA game. That said, I mean, if you're looking at Trae Young and what he did in Utah, you want him to shoot better. I mean, he's got to shoot better. But really, I'm not concerned with his shooting. I think he's a really good shooter, and there's a large enough sample size of him to understand that he's an elite level shooter. I think, you know, I look at the playmaking, the passing, where I thought he did a really good job. I mean, it's not just progress. I mean, I'm looking at how he reads the game, and I think his decision making on the pick and roll is already pretty good. And so I think there's a lot to be hopeful about for Trae Young early on, but obviously, you know, you can't be a 20% shooter and succeed as a point guard in the NBA either. So he'll figure it out. I think there's a lot to like about what he's done, and I think people are going way over the top with the criticism.
Dan, let me bring you in on a conversation, moving away from Trae for a second, but just the young talent. The conversation amongst my friends, the conversation over at Off the Hook Barbershop, is that the big man is no longer relevant or the way he used to be in the league, and teams aren't building their teams around that big man. So as you evaluate talent coming from college to the pros, A, do you subscribe to that, and B, how do you feel about that transition?
Well, there's definitely been a change, and you look at some of these playoff series this year where big men just got played off the floor. And because what happens is a good team will go small offensively, and it's almost unguardable if you've got a, you know, sort of the traditional plotting big man who can't guard out on the perimeter. It just doesn't work anymore. Those guys, just the use for them, it just causes too many problems. The NBA now, especially at the end of games, you know, people are just hunting for the good matchup on the floor, the guy you can exploit, and often that will come down to a big switching on a smaller guy, and then it's absolutely just, it's over at that point. So it's definitely become a different kind of game, and I think a lot of the bigs who got picked this year are, you know, they've got quick feet, they're mobile, they're long, probably, you know, they can step out and shoot a three to stretch the defense. So there's definitely some guys out there who are more ready to play that style of ball. But having said that, it's definitely become a guards game. And whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I find the style of play pretty interesting. I don't think bully ball is all that exciting either. But, you know, the free-flowing, pass it around, find an open shooter, I think is pretty good basketball.
Spending time this morning with Dan Wolkin on the WaitForIt.com hotline. He's from USA Today Sports. And joining us, he covers a lot of basketball, covers some college football, too. I'm going to get a football question in with you in a moment. But first of all, about free agency, and, of course, all the noise has been out in L.A. What else can they add, or what else do you see them adding along with what has already been gathered out there for the Lakers?
Well, I don't think they've got a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of people out there right now other than what you're looking at with the Kawhi Leonard situation and whether they're going to be able to get a deal done. It doesn't really seem like the Spurs are all that motivated to make a trade right now, unless they get what they want, and I'm sure they want a lot. The Lakers, it seems like, are in a mode right now where they're taking on short-term money with one-year deals so that they have cap space again next year so that maybe they can sign Leonard outright. This does not look like Lakers next year going forward. This looks like Lakers gearing up for the summer of 2019, where then maybe they can really make an impact and start to advance on the Warriors and the Rockets. I think right now it's just a little bit more of a get LeBron in there, you know, see where you are, but it's a little more of a holding pattern.
Yeah. Spending time with Dan Wolkin. Once again, you can find him on Twitter, at Dan Wolkin. Got to get you a college football question in. SEC Media Days are coming to downtown Atlanta next week. After 35 years in Alabama, do you think the Alabama folks are going to figure it out that it's not going to be there this year?
It's definitely, you know, a big change, and it's been an event that's attracted a lot of people to, for whatever reason. I'm not sure I totally understood why people would use, you know, their days to go, except to maybe just get an autograph. But when any event like that that's held annually is in one place for that long and then it moves, I'm sure people are kind of wondering what the deal is. But you know, I think that the SEC championship game being played here, the new stadium. I know they wanted to actually do it there last year. It just didn't work out because the stadium wasn't quite finished yet. But, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. You know, I'm sure to me it won't be all that different. But for some of the fans, hey, maybe it'll give, you know, some Georgia people an opportunity to go get a glimpse of it. So it is what it is.
Yeah, there won't be a place for Saban to make his entrance with all the security. He got all the security guys that come around, man, like he's the governor of the state.
Yeah,
but you know what? I bet he lands a chopper on the roof or something.
Bring his pothole money. That's all we care about.
Dad, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Dan.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, all we care about is bring your fans with you, but bring that pothole money. All right, we've got a situation that we all need to help Mr. Crenshaw out with. We're going to talk about that, going to get back into this Tiger and Phil thing, but we're going to talk about some events going on in your neighborhood that you have been bringing up.
Yeah, a certain event.
Well, okay, we're going to talk about that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And there's a reason why we're taking you back to El Segundo. Sam and Greg on this cloudy morning.
The Junkyard and Watts.
Yes, yes. You get yourself a fat burger, and we have a situation.
Uh-oh.
Before we get back to the Braves and what they accomplished up in Milwaukee and getting off the schneid and getting a victory, and whether you care about Tiger and Phil going at it for $10 million or LeBron landing in L.A. And by the way, we do want you to participate. We got one more hour left of us talking, inviting you to be a part of who we think is Atlanta's biggest sports acquisition.
Yeah, professional.
Professional sports acquisition, and doing this on the heels of LeBron landing in L.A. Who's Atlanta's? Right now, a leader in the clubhouse. And I think I have to change this. I think 1 and 1A are Greg Maddux and Morton Anderson. Would you agree?
Morton Anderson. I think that was pretty big.
Yeah. We've had Fred McGriff. We've had Tony Gonzalez. We've had John Smoltz. Am I missing anybody as far as players?
No, players.
Okay. So that's where we are. But the reason we played the music is because Mr. Crenshaw has had an issue going on.
Uh-oh.
Up in his neighborhood. And I think you should share it with everybody because we got a lot of people in a lot of different professions who might be able to help you out with this.
Some other people that may be handling this. I mean, we heard a lot of different things. And, of course, you know, as our city grows and different things, we disturb the wildlife. We're taking away some of their natural habitat, where they used to live, and some go away and some go away grudgingly. And then some return. And so, in some parts of the area, you might have a bear get loose or something. No, in one of those.
Tell them what happened.
You got foxes. And I mean.
What kind of foxes?
I've been seeing a kind of gray-looking ones, but they were like early in the morning. It's kind of dark.
So it could be.
No.
Could be a red fox.
This one, yes, he is very red. I saw him yesterday, man, and he was like strutting through the night and wasn't looking to the left or right to see who saw him. I want things for him to be out at night, right? This was in the middle of the day. But he was stepping because he was headed toward the pond because he probably knows where there's some rabbits or something, right? Because we got a rabbit infestation in our neighborhood. We got rabbits all over. So, I mean, he's like living at Golden Corral right now, this fox.
Hey, now, let me get that vision in my head.
this fox.
Putting a little napkin around his neck.
Right. You're going, here I go. to my knowledge, they haven't messed with anybody's pets.
What you gotta worry about.
That's the thing. I mean, if that happens, then I think you have to make some phone calls and have some folks come visit your neighborhood to try to get rid of them. But I mean, how do you get rid of them? Because they're really smart. You're not just gonna set a trap. You're not gonna just walk into the trap. They're smart animals.
How do you know?
They're very smart.
That's why I question because I don't know. I've never heard people say, "Well, okay." There's that phrase.
Yes, wily the fox.
But that's not smart.
Sly as a fox. Yeah, he's smart. He's a smart guy. And he remembered where he's finding some food. He ain't leaving
that's
that.
Like any other animal.
You know what I mean? But he's signing it. But usually they come out at nighttime. This guy was out like broad daylight, just up strutting. Never mind me. I'm going over here and get me a couple of rabbits for breakfast. You know what I mean? That's what he was doing. He's a pretty bold guy. Big, bright red, black tail and a white tip. The tip of his tail is white.
Okay.
And so, I mean, people will see him. I mean, because they do come in kind of a rust color. Some are coming out of a gray or silverish color. That's what I've seen some at night. But this one is out, and that sucker was bright red yesterday. And I was like, look at that. He's a pretty good-sized guy. Like I said, he's
20 pounds?
Probably getting close.
Wow.
I mean, it's fine dining.
See, 30 pounds is the smallest dog I would get because of that and the predatory birds we got flying over.
Yeah.
They're not going to pick up a 30-plus-pound dog.
No.
That's the smallest I'll go.
No.
But these Paris Hilton dogs, you got to worry about them.
There's some of them in my neighborhood. Some people have the small dogs that go walking with them, and I'm like, man, do y'all know who's in the neighborhood?
You didn't hear the music?
And we got
the theme song?
And then there was a cat. We have a watch cat. You know, we have watch dogs.
Hang on a second.
We have a watch cat.
Where do you live?
We got a watch cat. He's black and white, and he just walks through the whole neighborhood. He goes through everybody's yard, and he just watches. He can't let you know if anything's happening. He's a watch cat.
I'm just a bank monitor. That's really a guard.
I'm not really a guard.
I just tell you that there's a situation. You got to do something out there, man.
If the watch cat disappears, we know something bad's going on. You know, as long as the watch cat's pretty big. I don't know if the fox will go after the watch cat. You know, but any little pocket dogs, he's ready for them, man. So that's I don't know if anybody else has them in their neighborhood.
404-710-929. Give us a call. Tell us how Sam handles a fox.
What else do you do with them? Do you stay? I mean, I think as long as they're not aggressive toward you, you know, I think you let them kind of do their own thing.
All right.
You know, but if people
just don't get bit.
Unless you got some
like rabies shot or rabies.
We ain't trying to.
What's the thing that you know the antivenom or whatever for
serum or whatever.
Yeah. Getting bit by a
yeah, you had to get
animals.
To the hospital quickly. And
I heard it's 10 shots in the stomach.
Really? No, stop it.
That was what we used to say in gym class.
10 shots in the stomach.
Yeah, you get bit by a skunk, you got to get 10 shots in the stomach.
Oh man, that just horrify everybody, wouldn't it? But I mean, that's the thing. As long as they don't look to be sick, you know, sometimes you can tell.
I'm not getting that close to find out if he's foaming at the mouth. I'm not getting that close. Tying up my Nikes, I'm gone the other way.
I'm just saying. But if you look at him and he looks like they're struggling and whatnot, then he's sick, then you really don't want to go anywhere near him. But that's the whole thing.
All right. We can't come up with any more names as far as Atlanta. I'm moving off and getting back into what we were talking about. Players that have come to this city bigger than the five we've named so far?
I mean, Moses Malone came here.
Moses was at the tail end.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, he came here at the time. The Hawks had everything they could have for that team except for points in the middle. Tree Rollins, great defensive guy, score you 2 points a game, block about five shots. You know, so they were looking to get points in the middle with that team. And so, you know, Moses was that. I mean, he was the black hole. The ball go in, it wouldn't come
back
out.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it. He was the abyss.
All right, final hour. We're going to get into talking about the Braves and just our thoughts as they approach the All-Star break and what we think should happen coming up.
And we got esports.
And we got some esports coming up at 9:20.
A new esports team.
Going to be pretty good. We'll explain that coming up.
Yeah.
Sam and Greg, both on the other side of the glass. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.